For more than two decades, Debbie Brunson has called the Redland Farming District her home.
I have to keep this here because one of the little horses jumps out.
It's an area just 20 miles southwest of Miami, known for its tropical fruits, orchids, and large-scale winter fruit harvests. She says the days when bobcats and hawks hunted prey like quail are long gone.
Down here in Florida, there used to be quail everywhere. But because of farming and pesticides and building, they've disappeared.
The Brunsons never farmed for a living, but did own a gun range where they let the foliage grow wild. They had a little camper and often spent the night in the woods. One day, Debbie heard something that changed her life.
Just woke up one morning and I heard a bobwhite quail. I go, whoa, that's like really cool. You don't hear that very often. And I looked outside and he was standing up on this mound of dirt right on top of it. It's a little tiny quail and he was calling away. So I said to myself, that'd be kind of cool to bring back the quail.
But how would she do it?
It sounds like bobwhite. Let me try to reproduce the sound.
She researched it and found out buying eggs or full-grown quails, these options were too expensive. She thought she had to give up the idea. Then about 6 months later, a flyer at a feed store caught her eye. A university research study needed someone to adopt baby quail chicks.
That's perfect. So that's what I did. And I called them up and I started getting these quail.
Okay, guys.
It turns out Bronson's adopted chicks were being carefully watched while still developing in the egg. Robert Licklider is a developmental psychologist at Florida International University. He works with quail embryos up until a week after they hatch.
At birth, they pretty much look like little adults. So they can see, they can hear, they can walk, they can vocalize. And that turns out to be really important for the work we do because we're interested in the effects of prenatal experience on postnatal development.
In the lab, the quail eggs are exposed to intermittent patterns of light through their translucent shell. The embryos also hear sounds that mimic a mother quail's chirp. Licklider says they didn't expect that adding light or sounds would affect the bird's other sensory systems.
So, for example, if we give them unusually early visual experience, we found that they're less likely to be good at learning a particular female's vocalization. And instead, what they're doing is showing increased visual discrimination abilities, but at the cost of another sensory system.
After decades of research, his team and other labs across the country have made a difference in neonatal units. Now preemie babies are not bombarded with bright lights around the clock or loud machine noises near their cribs.
They've put covers, for example, on the incubators or put eye patches on the newborns or instigated what we call kangaroo care, where the mother or father can actually hold and move around and touch that high-risk preterm infant.
Licklider says a collaborative project with the Harvard Medical School will use incubators equipped with special mattresses. Preemie babies will hear the sound of their mother's heartbeat and feel a vibration that mimics their mother's womb. But in the meantime, Debbie Brunson will continue adopting dozens of quail chicks every week, like she's done for the past 7 years. Licklider says it was important to have homes for these birds, since the research is about nurturing infants after they're born. I'm Patricia Sagastume in Miami.